And is for us to be in an intimate relationship with Him. That is His plan. We talked about, communion. Or we had communion this morning. And such an intimate, intimate thing it is. Where Jesus literally gave His flesh and blood for our salvation. We prayed for healing. That God would come in and manipulate and change through the power and touch of the Holy Spirit to cause healing in relationships and in physical. Gloria, we just prayed for with her eyes and her blood sugars. God's plan for His church is to be in intimate relationship with it. He wants to be in intimate relationship with us, His church. Let's take a look at a scripture passage that addresses that in part. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look in verses 11 through 22. Your Bibles, turn with me there. Otherwise, you can look up on the screen, but it's good to bring your own Bible. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles, by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And this one body to reconcile both to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You have done this, which You speak. And that You're doing that which You say You are doing. Father, we thank You that we don't have to guess. You've told us. You've told us what Your plan is. You've told us what Your will is. Now, Lord, help us to realize it. To understand it. And then to live it out in our lives. Lord, as I come and preach this morning, might Your Holy Spirit be upon me in such a way that what I speak gives people a greater understanding of that plan. That as I speak, people are drawn closer to You and into that deeper intimacy which You desire for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we read through Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, we see that there's a progression of greater intimacy. It goes from far away from God, excluded from God, to deeper and deeper levels of intimacy. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Revelation, they all speak into how we, the church, are God's temple. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it literally says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" 6:19, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from your God? You are not your own." Again, Revelation 3:12. Jesus speaking to the church. It says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it." He will make us a pillar. And then the passages that I read already in Ephesians, verses 21 and 22, it says, "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." We've been built into be a temple. What does that mean? Well, we go, in the beginning there's God, right? And he's all, there's God. And then there's creation. And God creates and we have his people. And as he, next slide. We have creation surrounding, you know, and God's people, Adam and Eve, they're there to interact with God, to have fellowship with him. Love creation. But then sin comes into the world and we have the fallen world, which is now excluded from God. Next. Next. We see that the Gentiles, the foreigners, the aliens, etc., these are not God's people. And there's this barrier. This barrier of exclusion between them and God. What is this barrier? It's sin. Next slide. We have this barrier of sin. Now, God's desire and plan was not to have this barrier between us and him. So he put in place his plan to overcome it. And that's done in the cross. Next slide. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." It's the blood of Christ that overcomes that barrier of sin. Nothing else conquers it. This is the pathway through that barrier that gets us into relationship again with God. And we can then go to the next slide, which is then again become part of God's people. We're there with God. And we're not just members of his people, citizens of the kingdom. People who identify. Anybody, how many of you identify yourselves really as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Is that your primary identity? Or is it, I'm American, or I'm Minnesotan, or I'm whatever? Is that your primary identity, or is it kingdom of heaven? Jesus came so that we wouldn't be excluded, wouldn't be foreigners, wouldn't be aliens, but instead could be people of God. Citizens of that kingdom. And not just citizens. Okay. How? Okay. I'm going to pick on Hennison since he's here. Hennison, you don't have your citizenship in the U.S. yet, do you? No. But he's here in this place. Why? Because a way has been made for you to do that, right? Well, some of us were born citizens of the U.S. Some of us, we need to have a way made. In the same way, we need to have a way made to get into the kingdom of heaven, because we weren't born into the kingdom of heaven, people. We were born into the world of the lost. But we're not just citizens. We're just not here with a green card or here with a visa or something. It's not a temporary thing that he's done for us. It says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but citizens of God's kingdom and members of God's household. Hold it. You're living in God's house too? Well, that's a little bit closer than just being in the same country, isn't it? Would you say that it's a deeper level of intimacy to be living in the same home with somebody than to live in the same country? By several orders of magnitude. I'm more than willing to share my country with all you two, all you all. But I don't know, as all you all, I want to share my home. I'm practicing my Southern, apparently. But seriously, how many of you are willing to open your home to have everybody and anybody just live with you? Yeah. Visit, live. There's a difference. Members of the household. And then he takes us. Next slide. See, we come to that members. We're closer. We're getting closer and closer in with God. But we find that we're even beyond that. Is that we're part of the temple. He said, members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. Talking about us, the church. Now, the temple is where people go to meet with God. People build temples all over the place. Why? Because they want to find a house for God. Next slide. That's the holy place where God lives. God lives in the temple, right? He resides there. Whether we're talking about our man-made gods, or we're talking about the real God, the God of creation. That's why they had the God told them how to build the temple so that he could reside there. But then we see, actually, he removes his glory from the presence of the temple and he no longer is there. And when Jesus dies, we see that the curtain between the Holy of Holies and the world is ripped in two. That is no longer the place where God resides. Instead, we are told that God doesn't reside, have his manifest presence somehow be in that temple. Now, he comes through the Holy Spirit and lives and resides within his saints, his church, God's people, all who claim him as Lord and Savior. We see that in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Here we're showing us this greater intimacy. Deeper and deeper intimacy. We become the holy place that God resides. We're not just not members of the household. We're the house. He's within us. Wow. Think about that. Next slide. Now, becoming the temple isn't the only illustration of this depth of intimacy that we have in Scripture. It's what we have here in this passage, but with other places, we talk about being one, being united through communion, through the vine. We've talked about that a couple other places, a couple other times. John chapter 15. Go read it. Father and child relationship. The Lord's Prayer. This new relationship. We're supposed to come to God as our Father. Our Father. Jesus tells us to pray. You don't think that's not an intimate relationship? Then we have of the bride. Well, there's several places where the illustration of the bride is. One is Revelation 21, where we see that coming from heaven is the bride of Christ, which is Jerusalem, which is literally the church that we've been built into. And Ephesians, again, gives another illustration of the depth of this relationship, referring to us as the bride or the wife of Christ, even. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 or 21 through 33. It says, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Okay? Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also the wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her through the washing with water, through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This is the church that's being talked about here, not just the relationship between a husband and wife, but the church is likened as a wife. Verse 32 really says, this is profound mystery, but I'm not talking about Christ, but I am talking about Christ in the church. Okay, in case we were unsure that he was talking about that, he specifically states that he's talking about Christ in the church. This is our level of intimacy relationship. I don't know if there's a... We've talked about parent and child and husband and wife. There aren't any more intimate relationships than that you can have. And then the temple. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:15 talks more about the wife. You know, talks about there if we unite ourselves with a prostitute as if that were our wife, we defile the temple. In case we're unsure what we're talking about here, this is an intimate relationship that God wants for us. God's plan for his church is not for him to be far off and aloof. It is for us to have a level of intimacy and unity with him that is the closest it is possible to have. Closer than most of us can even imagine. And certainly closer than what the world thinks humanity's relationship with God. Humanity, a lot of people have this idea that God is far off, if there's even a God at all. And just looking for a reason to thump you? If he has any interest in us at all, that's God, or that God is somehow a genie that we call in, or that. But no, God is not any of those things. He wants to have a close, intimate relationship with us. Humanity's relationship with God is physical. It's emotional. It's spiritual. It's relational. It is physical, people. Just as that relationship with, he abides within us. What we do to this, whether we make it holy or unholy, affects him. Because we are his temple. That place where he resides. It's emotional. There is emotional ties between a parent and a child, a husband and a wife. A bride and a bridegroom. It's spiritual. It's not one that is just physical, but also spiritual. That means it's eternal. And it is also relational. It's a relationship. It's not just one of proximity, that physical closeness, but also a relationship which is deep and abiding. Sharing. People, this is God's plan for us, the church. God's plan is to be an intimate relationship with each and every one of us as individuals, as individual parts of the church, and to be within us, the church as a whole. God's plan. That's why He came in the first place. Or why He came. Why He sent His Son Jesus. Why Jesus came. That's why we were created in the first place. It's to have relationship with Him. He created us for the purpose of relationship with Him. And when we don't have it, we're like a big old empty house with nobody in it. And just rattles around. Looking, needing something to fill it. Because if we don't have that which is supposed to fill it, those things which aren't supposed to will eventually find their way in. Just like any other vacant building. And that building will become decrepit and eventually be condemned. But if it has somebody living in it who cares for it, breathes life into it, that building will remain. That's God's relationship. That's God's plan for us, His church. That's the relationship He wants us to have with Him. To be intimate with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You indeed do want to be intimate with us. You don't want to be far off. That was never Your intent or desire. But You want to know us. You do know us. And You want us to know You. As only those who are in such a close relationship can. So Lord, might we know You. Might we truly, truly know You in the intimate way that You desire for us to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing, I just want to remind you that in your bulletin, you will find one of these. If you haven't already filled one out, I would ask you to do so. Do it today, do it later, mail it in, whatever. But there's a little thing that you can tear off. You can put check or put cash in there, whatever you want to do. If you're going to put it in the mail, I suggest you do a check. Just put your name on it, stick it in the offering box, put it in the mail, whatever. But give to the Great Commission Fund. And this Great Commission Sunday, as we seek to support the work that the Alliance does around the world, to seek to bring more and more people into that close, intimate relationship with Jesus, which one gets only through receiving Him as Lord and Savior.